Hosanna. Welcome to our Palm Sunday service today. As you arrived today, you would have found on the tables some palm shapes, some hand shapes, and you are asked to write something on that shape that you would like to pray for in this our Easter week. If you're at home or if you're watching this service later or at today, please do your own palm at home. You might like to trace around your hand on a piece of paper and write your prayer point on your palm. Now we're going to do something a little bit different because we're going to start with singing today. As we sing, Tell the City, you are invited to write on your palm and then remove the white tape on the back and come forward if you're able to and stick your palm onto our palm display at the front. If you'd like us to add it for you, just pop your hand up and we'll come and get it from you. There's no need to hurry because we'll keep singing until all the hands are included. This is our Palm Sunday procession. This is our parade. And so please join in, all are welcome. So let us start by singing Tell the City. Now you'll recognise the tune. It's the same tune as Give Me Oil in Your Lamp. So here we go, let's try this one.
See you.
Thank you for joining in, and what a wonderful parade we made. And look, our palms are all displayed. Thank you very much. Our call to worship. The story of Jesus' entry into Jerusalem tells that after his celebrated arrival, he went to the temple and looked around at everything. As we gather here for worship today, may it be with a sense that Jesus has walked into and is looking around. May our eyes be open to see him. May our hearts be open to be ready to be seen by him. And may our worship be worthy of his presence. And may we be transformed so that we see the world through his eyes. Amen.
We acknowledge and respect the Kaurna people, the traditional custodians of this land since time immemorial, along with the First Nations people of all lands where this service is shared. We are learning that the land is not ours to own, but to look after, and that if we listen, we may hear in it the calling of the Eternal Spirit. Responding to this call, we commit ourselves to work for justice, reconciliation, and care of the earth. During Lent, we have shared a common quest for a deepening of faith and a sensing of the divine presence. I invite you now to close your eyes to try again to name and let go of the things that still distract and bother you. Please open your eyes. The time is approaching a climax. Jesus is preparing to enter Jerusalem. How would we greet him? Can we follow him all the way to the cross? The power of Jesus is that he lived what he taught. He walked the talk, even if it would lead to his death. He lived with an abiding trust that God would respond to the stand he was taking. He radiated the light of God's compassion. But that light was too much for the world. There are forces today that also conspire to put the light out. Where are we in this drama? What are we willing to risk to follow Jesus? We sit in silence to think. As we now extinguish this light, we acknowledge the darkness and pain of illness and disease in the world. And let us pray together. Loving God, there are so many choices before us every day, choices offered by our families, our culture, our own past. Some of them encourage the well-being of the earth, ourselves and our neighbours. Others are destructive. Help us to distinguish between them. May we learn from the choices of Jesus and embody compassion, justice and inclusion in all we say and do. Amen. And now let us stay seated as we sing along with the video song that we'll play now. It's called If You Love Me, The Mercy Road.
If you love me, follow in my footsteps. If you love me, follow in my way. God will send the Spirit of truth, and I will be revealed in you. This is how we walk on the mercy road. If you love me, find a new direction. If you love me, take another road. For as I live, you too shall live in all the love that you can give. This is how we walk on mercy road. I will give you refuge, lift you up in your despair. And you will be the same for those I give you. If you love me, love as I have loved you. If you love me, love each other well. For I shall live in all you do, live in the love made God in you. This is how we walk on the mercy road. I will give you refuge, lift you up in your despair. You will be the same for those I give you. If you love me, love my whole creation. If you love me, love this planet well. My heart still beats in all you see, in life and land, in air and sea. This is how we walk on the mercy road.
And let us pray. Dear God, it is relatively easy for us to roster someone, to go and gather palm leaves to spread in the church today, and we can easily find music and a few good words to help us to remember and reenact Palm Sunday. But what if you arrived, inviting us to really lay down something important to us, to acknowledge your arrival? What if we knew the imminence of danger that accompanies you, or sensed that the authorities were watching us as we worship? How then, Jesus, would we meet you today? And what would we spread before you? How would we regard humility from the one we hope will save the world? Palm Sunday, Jesus, help us to see how and where you enter our world today, and how you ask us to lay at your feet, and how we may welcome you in. Amen. And now there's a Palm Sunday litany. Let's join together. There are responses. The streets were crowded. Shouts came from the deep in the heart. Save us from lukewarm faith.
Hosanna, save us.
Save us from callous indifference.
Hosanna, save us.
Save us from paltry hopes and petty dreams.
Hosanna, save us.
Save us from unquenchable greed.
Hosanna, save us.
Save us from lazy habits and faithless commitments.
Hosanna, save us.
Save us from soft-mindedness and hard-heartedness.
Hosanna, save us.
We cry from the depth of our hearts and the very pits of our soul. Hosanna, save us. Save us now. Our prayer of confession, let us pray. God of all hopefulness, God of my life, on this holy day of palms and passions, and through the holiest of weeks, when our Lenten journey finds its completion through pain, sorrow, despair, illness, losses of all kinds, through fear, anger, hatred, vitriol and finger pointing, through a self-examination of all the ways we work against you, against your hopes and dreams for creation, against your love poured out in flesh and blood, we hang our heads and bow our hearts, seeking your forgiveness, yearning for your guidance, desiring your compassion. Fill us, we pray, with the ability to turn to you, kneeling before your grace. Open our spirit that we may take you in, let you in, to receive you in taking you in, into our hearts and our minds and souls. Let you in that we might turn to you, return to you, be transformed in you, through you, by you, for you. Transformed once more, this day, this week, into a new self, me, you. May we become a new people, a gentle people, a people of love and compassion, born anew from our deepest sorrow through the breadth of your forgiveness and love. And then may we do likewise, forgive and love. Amen. And now our words of assurance. The Lord is our strength and might. Jesus is our salvation.
In Jesus our sins are forgiven.
In Jesus our cries are answered. Our salvation is at hand.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. They took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the light. Now let us stand if we're able and sing, This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made.
This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Can we do that again? This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us
rejoice and be glad in it.
May the peace of Christ fill you this day.
Christ is the source of our joy and gladness.
Please share now a joyful sign of Christ's peace with those near you and those joining us online. Here or wherever we are. Peace. Peace. Peace be with you, Bruce. Peace, Jenny. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Now we will join in watching our Lent event video for today.
In the Pacific and in many places around the world where Uniting World works, women are strong and creative, the backbone of their communities. But in times of long-term stress like drought and the harrowing trauma of disasters like cyclones, they carry the heaviest of burdens.
And when we came, when we ran on the road, we saw the skies coming to, started to dark, and there's just some rocks falling dust. And that time, I feel this is the last end of the world in our imagination. We were, afraid, and my son and my daughter, they were looking at me and I said, don't worry, we are going to be fine.
Reverend Taisia works with the Free Wesleyan Church of Tonga and oversaw a Uniting World-funded project that supported women in the aftermath of the 2022 Hunga Tonga Hunga Hapai volcanic eruption and tsunami.
Because as we talk to women, I think they carry most of the, that burden. Like some women, their husband were in Australia, New Zealand. But for women, they had to carry their child and their children and look for somewhere to escape to. And I think the project was such a big help in trying to heal that wound. So the practical side was that we the project provide sewing machines and cooking stoves for the women to come together as a community and that they work together and help each other.
It brought us here, the women of not only in our church, but the whole community of Tongatai Apa. Some people, some women sew some tupenu and they sell it out to get some money to help their family, but not to rely on their family from overseas and the support from the government. We can make our own livelihood to start with. Yeah? Thank you very much for this very supportive project you gave us.
We were hoping that us women, that we come together as a community and that we get to like I tell you my weakness and that lady can tell me her weaknesses. Because I think when women come together, it's such a powerful, like there's a powerful force that they can work together on to build the community.
Uniting World Partners focus on supporting women because their role as community builders is foundational to creating long-term change. That community embraces each of us here in Australia too. Our gifts and prayer seeds the work of chaplains like Sia, climate change and disaster project officers like Makoni, people who preach and teach, plan and guide. Our work is given life within communities who build each other up in faith, hope and love. Thanks so much for being part of it this Lent and beyond.
Our reading today is from Luke chapter 19, verses 28 to 40. After he had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he had come near Bethphage and Bethany, at the place called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of the disciples, saying, "Go into the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' just say this, 'The Lord needs it.'" So those who were sent departed and found it as he had told them. And as they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, "Why are you untying the colt?" They said, "The Lord needs it." Then they brought it to Jesus, and after throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. As he rode along, people kept spreading their cloaks on the road. Now as he was approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the deeds of power that they had seen, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, order your disciples to stop." He answered, "I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out." In this is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A word about Palm Sunday and making choices. In preparing this talk today, I've borrowed very liberally from other writers who certainly hold more credit as scholars of Christianity. But I hope my words help you to reflect on this day and form your own views as we begin our journey to the cross. I love a parade. Whether it's the Adelaide Christmas pageant, and there we are, or the changing of the guard in London, where I lined up for 2 hours, or a school book week parade, where I dressed up as well as the kids. So I love a parade. So I find the details of a parade in which we celebrate today is quite fascinating. In this book, The Last Week, New Testament scholars John Crossan and Marcus Borg point out that the parade which heralded Jesus' entry into Jerusalem wasn't the largest or the most spectacular parade in town during that particular Passover season. Back there, then, Jerusalem was a destination hotspot, a tourist town. The city's population swelled from 40,000 to 200,000 during the holidays, and Passover was one of the busiest holidays. Crossan and Borg point out that there were two processions in Jerusalem on what we call Palm Sunday. One we know well and commemorate today with the waving of palm branches. We remember a peasant riding a donkey accompanied by his followers coming from the north into Jerusalem, but also entering Jerusalem at Passover from the west was the Roman governor Pontius Pilate. Like the Roman governors of Judea before him, Pilate lived in Caesarea by the sea. In other words, Pilate spent most of his time at his beach house. But the crowds of devout Jews flowing into Jerusalem to commemorate this liberation from Egypt, the Roman governors would have put on a display of force. So this was meant to deter the Jews from getting too exuberant about the possibility of liberation from Rome. Pilate's procession was the visual manifestation of imperial Roman power. Once a show of strength designed to prevent any outbreaks of insurgency or violent rebellion against Roman rules. Such outbreaks were a constant danger, both because Roman rule imposed real hardship economically on their subject nation and because no one likes the foot of a foreign power on their necks. We've seen some of that lately, haven't we? In a show of military force, the second parade included cavalry on horses, foot soldiers, leather, armour, helmets, weapons, banners, golden eagles mounted on poles, sun glinting on metal and gold. The sound of marching feet, the creaking of leather, the clinking of bridles, the beating of drums would have all had a sobering effect on all those who saw this parade. There would have been no shouts of Hosanna as the powerful Pilate rode astride his horse, hoping to strike fear into the resentful onlookers. As Pilate led a regiment of his most trusted soldiers into town, as a show of force, he did so with confidence, knowing that he was backed up by several battalions of Rome's finest garrisons and the western side of Jerusalem, ready to flood in the city at Pilate's command. The Gospel according to Mark, written some 50 years after the event, tells us that Jesus' procession into Jerusalem was not a spontaneous slapdash spur-of-the-moment event. In fact, Mark, the first gospel to be written, spends more time telling us about the preparation for Jesus' entry into Jerusalem than about the event itself. It would seem that Jesus wanted intentionally to set himself in stark contrast with the other procession coming into town. According to Mark, the event was a sort of counter-procession designed to contrast the kingdom of Rome to the dominion of God. According to the first account, Jesus assigned two disciples to the job of acquiring a colt. It's an odd clandestine mission that Jesus gives to his two disciples. At the entrance of the village, they are told they will see an animal tied up. They are instructed to untie the animal and bring it back. And if anyone questions their actions, they are to offer the oblique explanation that their master has need of it. Oh, and by the way, the animal has never been ridden before. The disciples do as they are told, find the colt, and they are indeed questioned as why they, two strangers, are making off with someone else's animal. They bring the colt to Jesus and throw their cloaks on this unbroken colt, and Jesus sat on it. Jesus simply sat on the back of a previously unridden colt. Now, by the time the writer of Luke gets around to telling the story, some 60 or 70 years after the event, the colt is now a donkey. Matthew, written 60 or 70 years after the event, can't seem to decide. So the gospel has the disciples bringing a donkey and a colt, and Jesus sits on them and rides them into Jerusalem. So is it any wonder that the people might have been slightly impressed with Jesus' abilities? They spread their cloaks on the road and some leafy branches on the ground. According to the Gospels of Mark and Matthew, these are just any old leafy branches. Luke doesn't have any branches at all. By the time you get to the Gospel of John, written to some 70 to 80 years after the event, the leafy branches are named as branches of palm trees. Now, lest you think I'm trying to get down to little details, there's a point to why not any old branches versus palm branches. Waving palm branches was the way that conquering military leaders were welcomed home from battle. The Gospel of John hints that Jesus is a conquering hero. When the earlier Gospels seem to be setting up this particular parade as an ironic antithesis to a military parade. So what really happened all those years ago? In his book, Jesus for the Non-Religious, Jack Spong points out that at the time of the Passover, there wouldn't have been any leafy branches about. Jerusalem at that time of the year would have had leafless trees, except, of course, for the only tree that keeps its leaves, the evergreen of the desert, palm tree. The historical details are impossible to sort some two centuries after the events. Reading the accounts literally is also impossible. That is, unless you're willing to leave your brain out of the equation and picture Jesus riding a colt and a donkey, both of whom have never been ridden before. What is important is that the gospel writers wanted to give their readers an impression of straight out of the Jewish scriptures and traditions. What we must not do is read these stories outside of their own context. To do so is to run the risk that Christianity has fallen prey to over and over through the centuries, that has labelled our Jewish brothers and sisters as the killers of Christ and punished them mercilessly. So what is we as 21st century Christians to do with Palm Sunday? Well, it seems to me that no matter how you look at the story of this amazing procession into Jerusalem, you can't help but see the image of Jesus, who offers us a choice between two parades. The attraction of the power and the might of Pilate's military parade with all its glory and wonder is still there to tempt us, a bit like the changing of the guard. The temptation to use force and violence, military might, nuclear deterrence, shock and awe is still marching its way into the hearts and minds of many people. We only need to watch the nightly news or listen to a commentary on the Middle East, the Ukraine, the United States of America, and see their warring leaders to see that the pathways to glory still beckon. Power and might, greed and violence attract more attention and more converts than the path less travelled. Jesus versus Pilate. The non-violence of dominion of God versus the violence of the empire. Two arrivals, two entrances, two possessions. And all too often, we find ourselves in the wrong parade. The world is full of parades, or as we might more frequently say, full of bandwagons. Sometimes it's easy or difficult to know which parade to join, which bandwagon to hop on. It is so easy and tempting to join the wrong one, and so hard sometimes to get in the right procession. It is so easy to simply get caught up in the enthusiasm of the crowds and join the procession which has the loudest brass bands or the most elaborate floats or the greatest number of celebrities or the most charismatic leaders. It's easy to miss the counter procession that is taking place on the other side of town, the one where Jesus is riding on a humble donkey, claiming a dominion not by violence, but by courageous loving, serving and accepting his place among the victims of imperial power. In so doing, for those with the eyes of faith to see it, Jesus bears witness to the futility of the world's kind of power in establishing God's peace, God's shalom, and points Christ's followers to a different way. The dominion of God is nothing remotely like the kingdoms or empires with which we are all too familiar. Power does not come from dominion or oppression, but rather flows from love and service. Leadership requires servanthood and grace. Peace is won without a sword, and no person's claims are greater than another. While Pontius Pilate processed into town with a showcase of intimidating muscle and glinting armour astride a noble steed, Jesus processed into town unarmed, unflanked, on the back of a borrowed donkey. Holy Week reminds us how easily we are distracted and fooled by fancier parades and promises. Which parade will you choose? Which leader will you follow, and who will you commit to? Let us pray. What a strange paradox. The king is coming, the people rejoice, singing Hosanna in the highest, yet fail to understand that the king they welcome is the servant king, the king who washes the disciples' feet, the king who came not with an army, but a weapon so powerful that not even death could resist the sacrificial love of God laid out upon a cross. Lord God, as we sing our hosannas today, may we remember also that which you were riding toward, the suffering and rejection, pain and humiliation, the cruel cross. And let us look forward to the joy of Easter Day when you rose from the dead to reign forever. Help us as we daily lay our lives before you to live the resurrection life that acknowledges Jesus as Lord and King over our lives. Give them your grace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And now let us stand or sit to sing, "From heaven you came, helpless babe, entered into our world, our glory veiled, not to be served, but to serve, and give your life that we might live. This is God, the servant king." Let us sing.
can we offer that you have not already offered us? What can we do that you have not already done for us? Lord Jesus Christ, in your gifts to us, you have provided us the way to live and serve you. In both your triumph and your suffering, you deserve our praise. Through the gifts we now offer in the bowl and electronically, we express our longing to serve and to follow wherever you go. Amen. Now, in case you can't remember, there's an annual general meeting after this service, and so we're looking forward to as many as possible coming back with your coffee for the meeting straight after the service. And now our prayers of intercession for Palm Sunday, following Bruce Brewer's guide. Because of Christ's love, our prayers reach out to our brothers and sisters. Let us pray, first in silence, remembering the prayer points that we wrote on our palms, now affixed to the screens. Some silence. Holy friend, we turn to you in prayer for those around us, not trying to twist your arm or change your mind, but linking our little compassion to your boundless compassion for all those whom Christ came to save. We pray for those today who are faced with a clear choice between doing the lonely will of God or conforming to the cozy will of the majority. And we respond, may your grace win the day and your salvation prosper. We pray for those who are confused by an apparent lack of clear choice, who must make decisions without being sure which is the best option.
May your grace win the day and your salvation prosper.
We pray for those who are suffering much because of their decision to put Christ first and are now scorned or isolated, abused or persecuted.
May your grace win the day and your salvation prosper.
We pray for those who are living with the consequences of bad decisions, who cannot put back the clock but wish to learn from their sins and grow in humility and faith.
May your grace win the day and your salvation prosper.
We pray for those who, without any say in the matter, are thrust into unexpected situations of suffering or sorrow.
May your grace win the day and your salvation prosper.
We pray for your church when it is harried by critics, disgraced by its own weak or arrogant members, and given challenges that appear too large for its resources.
May your grace win the day and your salvation prosper.
God of Palm Sunday, please endow each of us with the courage and humility of Christ, that his love at work in us may enable us to do much better than seems humanly possible. May his hands take even that which is twisted or scarred and shape it for a greater purpose and sublime glory.
May your grace win the day and your salvation prosper. Through Christ Jesus our Saviour. Amen.
And now let us stand or sit as we sing together, The King of Glory Comes. Thank you.
as we head into Easter week. May Jesus, our King of Kings, make his rule known in your life. May you echo the crowds as Jesus entered Jerusalem, who praised and celebrated this King, even though they did not yet know the nature and scope of his saving plan. May the glory of our King give you strength and excite you with reasons to worship, even as we pray for his saving power over the world. May Jesus' humility as he draws near heal us of our sin, give you hope that while we face this present storm and darkness, Jesus, the ultimate hero of ourselves, will one day make all things new and right. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance to you and give you peace. Amen.